This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a Wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, Wimpy, Wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag.
Hefty, Hefty, Hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty Large Black Bags.
Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly with Shehzad Haque. Now, world leaders have stepped up talks amid fears of a Russia invasion into the Ukraine.
President Biden says the controversial Nord Stream 2 natural gas pipeline between Russia and Germany would be stopped if this were to happen.
That's right. He was speaking at a joint news conference at the White House with German Chancellor Olaf Scholz, who has previously urged for diplomacy with Russia.
At the same time, French President Emmanuel Macron met with Russian President Vladimir Putin, who didn't seal a deal to avoid war.
That's right. Joining us on the line to give us an update on the situation and his analysis is Professor Andrew Delios, Vice Dean of Department of Strategy and Policy at NUS Business School. Professor, thanks so much for joining us again today.
Thank you, Rachel. Thank you, Shehzad.
Good to have you with us. So let's talk about the current situation. Where are we now? We've been monitoring the talks that have taken place. They've been escalating over the last few years. Well, we've seen an increase in talks. They've really stepped up over the last few days as well. What's the current situation?
Well, I think the situation is unpredictable, as we see, and it's unpredictable because we're looking at an individual versus a system. Mm-hmm. So when we think about Putin and what he's doing, he's acting as an individual. And when we have individuals who are acting, the predictability is much less. If we had, for example, China taking such a stance or the U.S. taking such a stance, then it becomes more predictable. Moreover, we know that Putin has a history of gamesmanship, throwing items on the table, threatening to take various kinds of actions, but it's never really uncertainty what his ultimate agenda is. I would think that at this particular time, it's one of the things that Putin is testing as he exploits the Ukraine crisis, is what is the strength of the Western alliance at this time. The Western alliance came under threats. It came under from actually President Trump just even 2 to 3 years ago. So there's really uncertainty about how allied are these allies.
There was an interesting article in the Straits Times this morning, and it talked about information versus Russia in this whole situation, and that it was information that led to the moves from Western democracies earlier rather than later in terms of what was happening with Russia and Russian troops on the Ukraine border. How do you think that plays out in the importance of information within the current situation as well?
Yeah, I think the U.S. acting early on the information is a sign that the supposed lack of concern that President Trump evinced with respect to actions by Russia is opposite under Biden. So by moving early, by moving aggressively, the signal is, look, no, what you perceived under the Trump administration is not what is the reality under the Biden administration. It is extremely important for Biden to show solidarity with the allies, which is currently under progress, but also to show conviction and force to Russia at this particular time. And that's part of what Putin is testing, even though we never really know what his underlying motives are.
So, Professor, you know, just going back to what you said earlier, where we're talking about individual against systems, President Biden, of course, has a lot going on his plate anyway, domestically speaking. And would you say that this is a critical test of his leadership ability? And of course, he's got this foreign policy vision. It's very different to President Trump of trying to unite the West or NATO and Europe effectively to confront these autocratic regimes. And just along with that, of course, he's trying to say that they're going to end the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, but that's not actually within his control. That belongs to Germany.
Yeah, that statement about the Nord Stream pipeline is a bit surprising. And that's really something that's happening between Germany and Russia and the Ukraine. And the U.S. really doesn't have authority in that regard. And probably in some senses, he overstepped. Mm. But with returning to what you were saying, domestically, foreign, for almost any regime or for almost any government, tensions with a foreign power are actually good for unifying the disparate parties in the system. Trump's stance was not comfortable to the Democrats, and it was not comfortable to the Republicans. But for Biden to show a strong hand, it's very difficult for both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party to credibly counter against that stance. So I think this is something that actually could benefit Biden domestically in a time in which his approval ratings are very troublingly low.
Having said that, you know, we see the right wing and the Republicans generally sort of now kind of remarkably siding with Russia in many ways, or justifying what Putin is doing by saying that, well, wouldn't you do the same? Or if there was a potential enemy in Mexico, or, you know, harking back to the Cuban Missile Crisis when the United States had to take decisive action, they're sort of going the other way now, aren't they?
Yeah, but I would also say this is the rogue right. It's not consistent with 80 to 90% of the politicians or the polity in the U.S. So while we might hear these voices, I think we have to discount them heavily, because the reality is that very, very few people, if anybody in the U.S., would accept an aggressive, strong Russia that is expanding forward towards the West through the Ukraine into potentially other countries in Europe.
We're speaking with Professor Andrew Delios Weiss, Dean, Department of Strategy and Policy at NUS Business School. Just going back to Germany now, Professor, because let's not forget that Russia contributes, I think it's about 40% of Europe's natural gas. That's a significant amount. And at the same time, we've seen that Germany's Chancellor Olaf Scholz has been relatively quiet on the Russia issue so far. Yet yesterday, he was uncharacteristically forceful in warning about the potential price to the Kremlin. How much of an economic price are we talking about here? And how much of a factor does energy play in this whole discussion?
So this is a really interesting question, because what it gets down to are what are the ultimate goals that the government wants to be able to achieve. So Chancellor Scholz at one time was leaning towards, hey, we need to pay attention to these economic goals. But his silence and then his subsequent statements indicate, no, national security goals are more important. As a crisis moves forward, and as people like President Macron or Chancellor Scholz or President Biden are willing to sacrifice economic goals for solidarity goals, are willing to sacrifice economic goals for national defense goals, then actually this crisis could yield the opposite to what Putin and others might hope for, which is that it doesn't reveal fractures between the French, Germans, and the U.S., but instead it kind of creates a push such that NATO and the Western allies realize that they have to be aligned and much more united in response. So we can see that with Putin trying to explore conversations with each of those individuals, that's an exploration for fractures. But eventually, when those voices become united, as they might do under this pressure of this situation, which then, as I mentioned, subverts economic goals and reinstalls the idea that we need a united Europe, we need a united Europe with a united U.S., then this becomes something that's slightly different than might have been anticipated when initially pushed forward.
Professor, I mean, this is such an interesting dynamic, isn't it? We've got European leaders almost jockeying with each other to talk to Putin. We've got China entering the fray in some ways and now aligning themselves with making a strong statement about aligning themselves with Russia, while of course always stressing that they're trying to call for calm and end to this Cold War mentality. Do you feel that we are kind of going back in time a little bit, that China, Russia, they had a strong relationship in the past that kind of fractured later on during the Cold War? What is the end game here for China, especially in all of this? And what does it want, particularly with the Ukraine crisis? What does it get out of all of this?
I would say China's fundamentally not interested. China's interested in China. China's leaders are interested in securing independent and unfettered pursuit of their own goals. They're interested in establishing territorial integrity. They're interested in establishing autonomy within the governance of their own provinces and regions without interference from Western media or from any kind of reports that make them uncomfortable about what's happening inside their territory. They're interested in internal alignment, having everybody agree to what they're doing, and they're interested in the sanctity of the CCP. Anything that happens outside that diverts attention, especially during this time of the Olympics, that diverts attention from what's happening internally in China and diverts critique of China, serves China's interests. Everything else is more of a moot point. Even the relationship between Russia and China has never actually been that good. Recall that Russia and China split from each other strongly in the 1950s. And I don't think that China has forgotten how that fracture occurred and how much that hurt China's growth at that particular point in time. So Russia and China, yes, they have some vague similarities, political systems, but the reality is they're not natural allies and they never will be. And so China's just leveraging the situation to defocus the attention that the Western media and the Western politicians have on the internal aspects of China's operations.
Okay, well, Professor, I think we could talk about this for quite some time, but unfortunately, that's all we've got time for tonight. Great to have you back on the show with us.
Thanks. Thank you very much. Thank you.
We've been speaking with Professor Andrew Delios, Vice Dean, Department of Strategy and Policy at NUS Business School, on the current Russia-Ukraine situation. You're listening to Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.